You're listening to Vatican Radio.
At the beginning of every month, Pope Francis makes known his prayer intention for the month to come. In August, it has to do with sport and his desire that sports may build a culture of encounter among everyone for a world of peace. In July, the Pope's prayer intention was for respect for indigenous peoples. In a video message, he said that he prays that indigenous peoples, whose identity and very existence are threatened, will be shown due respect. I looked into the question with Lewis Evans, who works for Survival International, the global movement for tribal peoples' rights.
We are aware that Pope Francis has made several statements over the past year regarding indigenous peoples, apologies for historic mistreatment and that sort of thing, all of which were very welcome as far as we were concerned. And it's great to see that he's continuing to put indigenous peoples right at the heart of his agenda.
He actually says something very powerful. He says, "I want to be a spokesman for the deepest longings of indigenous peoples." And he goes on to speak about the fact that they are threatened in their identity and even in their existence. Is that true?
Yes, it is. Obviously with varying degrees of severity in different parts of the world. But yes, many tribal and indigenous peoples around the world are facing annihilation. Their lands are being destroyed, their labor stolen. In all kinds of different parts of the world, people face eviction from their ancestral lands, their basic rights as human beings are denied, people try and silence and brutalize them. So yeah, it's always fantastic to have people like Pope Francis on side in the struggle for recognition of people's rights.
Another thing that struck me in the video message was the fact that the woman, the indigenous woman who was speaking to an empty auditorium. Do you get this feeling as you advocate for the rights of indigenous people?
Well, from time to time, yes. Obviously, we try and disseminate our message as widely as possible. We have supporters in over 100 countries, and we are able to get media coverage for our causes. But yes, it is definitely true that as far as too many people are concerned, certainly too many powerful people, these issues either aren't issues at all, or at the very least, they're quite low priority. People get caught up in other causes, other issues, and sort of neglect or forget about the threats facing indigenous peoples. And that's something that we obviously try and change, and it's good to see Pope Francis doing the same.
Lewis, can you tell me a little bit about Survival International and exactly how you work, what you do, and what your outreach is?
Well, we are a campaigning organisation. We're a non-governmental organization supported entirely by our supporters, our donors. Basically, we help tribal people to defend their lives, protect their lands, and determine their own futures all around the world. So our work is preventing the annihilation of tribal peoples, and we work in partnership with them, give them a platform to speak to the world, investigate atrocities, support legal representation, sometimes fund medical self-help projects, educate, research, campaign, lobby, and protest on behalf of tribal peoples in support of their rights.
And of course, tribal peoples are threatened across the globe, aren't they? I mean, we're talking about the Kalahari Desert, people in Asia, in Latin America, everywhere you can possibly think of.
Yes, in South America, for example, there are large numbers of people, some of whom are uncontacted, which makes them among the most vulnerable peoples on the planet. But even among many of those who are contacted, who are partially integrated into the mainstream of societies, peoples like, for example, the Guarani in Brazil, they really do face annihilation. Their lands are continuously and systematically being stolen. They're subjected to genocidal violence, slavery, and racism. It's also the case in much of Africa. There are tribes people whose lives and lands are being stolen, either in the name of progress, of economic so-called development, or in some cases in the name of wildlife conservation as well. Big conservation organizations or governments claim to know how to look after people's lands better than the people who've lived on them for in many cases, millennia. Similar situations in India, for example, Indonesia. So yes, it really is a global struggle, and that's why we try and get support on a global basis, really, mobilizing supporters, campaign, lobby, protest all around the world.
Lewis, with the Olympics coming up, the spotlight is obviously on Brazil and on the many inequalities that exist in that nation. How do indigenous people fare there?
Unfortunately, in far too many cases, not all that well. I mentioned before there are quite a large number, we don't know the exact figures, obviously, quite a large number of uncontacted peoples, isolated tribes, particularly in the Amazon in Brazil, who don't have contact with mainstream Brazilian society, who have expressed their wish to remain uncontacted and to continue living as they are. We want to see that right respected. It's vitally important that yes, people aren't exposed, for example, to diseases to which they have no resistance, and certainly not subjected to genocidal violence or the theft of their land. But sadly, very many uncontacted peoples do face this threat really quite imminently. There are illegal loggers, illegal miners, powerful people, ranching and agribusiness interests who want to steal people's land, who would very much like to see them contacted and wouldn't care if they were all wiped out. So the people, for example, called the Cauahiva in Mato Grosso state in the Amazon region of Brazil, who we've been campaigning for some time. So we're campaigning at the moment for their land to be properly demarcated and protected by the Brazilian government. But also for some contacted peoples, as I said, there are really serious threats. For example, the Guarani in central Brazil, they are facing extraordinary threats. Their lands have been stolen. They've been reduced over the past few decades from having had millions of hectares of land on which they'd lived for generations to being forced essentially to live on roadsides, frequently harassed and attacked by gunmen hired by ranchers, subjected to all kinds of racism as well. And yes, we're doing all that we can really to bring these situations to broader attention and to lobby the authorities in Brazil to respect people's rights and protect them from this sort of violence and treatment.
So on the one hand, it's very easy to understand and to see this exploitation, the violence you speak of, the neglect. On the other hand, we can look through a different perspective and on the wealth that of diversity that I imagine they provide to the planet, ancestral knowledge, traditions. They're all part of our common home, as Pope Francis calls it when he speaks of creation.
Yes, exactly right. They are part of our human diversity. People have the right, as we say, to determine their own futures, to determine how they live, how they wish to live. So yes, it isn't just the question of avoiding humanitarian catastrophe, although that is of course the most imperative and urgent and horrific aspect of what we do, of what we try and combat. It is also, yes, as you say, a question of protecting our people's rights and our human diversity. Also worth saying as well, of course, that tribal peoples really are the best guardians and conservationists of the natural world. They are better at looking after their environment than anyone else. They have a very sustainable relationship to their natural environment. Creating and recognizing indigenous territories in places like Brazil, but also in Africa and India, as I've said, really does go a long way to protecting, for example, areas of forest from exploitation and destruction. So, yes, it's a broad fight with a lot of different components to it.
I will direct people to your website where yes, they can learn more about your campaigns and possibly join. Can people join your campaigns? Can we make donations? How does it work?
Yes, absolutely. We would absolutely encourage people to do that. You can go to survivalinternational.org. There's a tab right at the top. Takes you to our Act Now page. We really do depend on the energy, enthusiasm, and also money of our supporters. So there's all kinds of different ways you can get involved and support us in our work. You can also find us on social media as well. We're very active on Facebook, Twitter, and also we have a YouTube channel, so people can find us there and find out more about what we do.
That was Lewis Evans of Survival International, the global movement for tribal people's rights.